Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome. My name is Tara Butler-Flock, and welcome to our webinar on Savvy Strategic Alliances, 6 Steps to Creating Fun and Profitable Partnerships. We here at Broadviewpreneur believe that it is never too late to be what you might have been, and that every entrepreneur deserves to have a thriving, prosperous, joyous business. We help emerging entrepreneurs make the courageous leap into business ownership and support them in making their dream a reality. And today's call, we really hope to teach you some of the keys to creating successful relationships with other professionals. Let's face it, it's really no fun to try to do this journey alone. You know, it's a bit ironic because, like many of you, I started my business 13 years ago because I was truly an independent spirit who wanted to make my own mark in the world, and I really valued my autonomy. And as a self-motivated person, I had the drive, and I knew that that would really serve me as an entrepreneur, so I leapt out into a business and started on my own. But I also realized that I really craved connection and collaboration. I really missed the juiciness of that I had in the executive roles I had when I was on the corporate side. And really, truly, running my own business could be really lonely and uninspiring at times. So I was really craving this. And in the first 2 years of my business, I tried to form a variety of different types of partnerships, try to do workshops with people, try to do promotions with people, and they really never went anywhere. A lot of great conversation and a lot of dialogue and never really got off on a run. And it wasn't until, you know, probably about 2 years into my business that I actually met somebody that changed that for me. And up until then, I really thought, maybe I'm just not cut out for partnership. It felt like I was trying to build a skyscraper on bare dirt instead of building a strong foundation first. And I thought, you know, maybe I might have the best of intention, but maybe this just isn't for me. But that all changed when I met my good friend and colleague, Lou Curtis, and he was my first successful strategic alliance, and that was back in 2000. And it really changed everything for me because I learned about how to be in partnership with another professional that fed me both professionally and personally. We started out as referral partners, and I'll be talking a little bit about the different type of strategic alliances. But basically, a referral partner is, you know, I have some business for you. And in our case, it was, I'll give you a referral fee. I believe we started out with a referral fee of 15%. And we started out being referral partners for each other. And then we ended up being extension partners for each other. And I'll explain what that is, too, where actually we brought each other in on projects where our expertise was needed and collaborated pretty closely together on those projects. Now, with some of those referrals from Lou, I remember for me in the first year, it brought in about $30,000 of additional revenue to my business, which, you know, back in 2002, that was pretty significant for me. And I'm sure for many of you that would make a significant jump in your business. And at one point, the projects I brought in for Lou were about 50% of his revenue, somewhere in the $60,000 to $80,000 range a year. So you can see why I hold him to high esteem. Now, our businesses have both changed, and he moved to Palm Springs, and I moved to Sebastopol, California. We were both living in Seattle. We were both working in the corporate market originally. Now, we're both working in the entrepreneurial market, but he works more with sort of the what I call the small cap business, you know, really people who need SEO work. And he does work sometimes with my clients. I still refer business to him, but our divine ideal clients are really not the same anymore. But we are still strong collaborators in terms of being peer coaches for each other, and we are still great friends. And since him, really since 2002, I've had a few different collaborations that didn't necessarily work out long term, and mostly because we learned we wanted different things, or I was giving more than I was getting, or we just didn't serve the same client. And I want you to know that that is to be expected. It's kind of like dating. Not every person you go out on dates with, even if you're attracted to them, might not be the person you're supposed to spend, you know, be in partnership with. Now, the key to that is to actually discover that early on and not go down the road and have a long-term relationship with somebody that's actually not a good fit for you. And luckily, most of my promotional and referral and extension partnerships, particularly in the last 5 years, have really been phenomenal and have really helped me grow professionally, helped me grow personally, and also spiritually. Some of my partners have really helped me become a better person on many levels, and it's really such a joy to be in partnership that helps, you know, where you know that both of you are being better people because of it. And about, you know, a year ago, I met one of my current extension partners, John Bowen, and we started to engage together. And he taught me a process that he uses to form strategic alliances between financial advisors and CPAs. And over the last 5 years, I've created my own strategy to extend it past, you know, because a financial advisor and CPA have a very specific type of relationship. So I've used the basis of his model and adapted it to really work for the solopreneur that's service-based. And I'm pretty excited about how successful this model has been both for me but also my clients. And at this point, I've taught hundreds of clients to do this process, and some of them have even doubled their revenue as a result. And I'm really hearing over and over that they're really enjoying the process. They're learning and growing individually, personally, professionally, as part of the partnerships. And that is really music to my ears, because we as solopreneurs or small business owners have this tendency to think that we have to do it all on our own. And it is, you know, we all on some level crave collaboration and connection, some of us more than others. And really, truly, what happens when we get together with another strategic partner that is a really good match for us is that synergy happens. That's the 1+1=4 type of equation. We actually become better. We come up with better solutions for our clients. We come up with better models for our business. And that's really important. So I'm so excited to talk to you more about this. We have over 100 people registered for the call today. And so you got to know that you are not the only one that craves this. Most of the entrepreneurs I know crave this, and many of them just don't think it's possible, or they really don't know how to do it well. A lot of you, I've heard stories from many of you, I've heard certainly a lot of stories from my clients where they think, you know, maybe I just am not cut out for this, and start to make themselves wrong. And I can tell you that that is just not true. You might have kissed a couple of frogs, but your prince may still be around the corner. And it also could be that the process that you used to develop that relationship was not as strong to help you through navigate through the challenges of partnership, because there, you know, like any relationship, there are going to be challenges, even for the best ones. So you are all in the right place right now, and I can't wait to share everything I've learned over the last 13 years on how to build these savvy strategic alliances with other professionals. So for those of you, you know, I did send out a link right before this call that gives you a link directly to the interview guide and to the slides, because some of you might only be able to call in. And those of you on the webcast, you'll be able to see the slides. And if you're on the phone, you can certainly tune in to the webcast. Just make sure to mute your phone. And I'll be moving along with these slides. And if you have questions at any time, you can type them into the webcast, and my lovely assistant, Angela, will be moderating that a little bit, maybe giving me a heads up if I'm missing that there's some questions on the webcast. If you have a question you want to, and you're on the telephone line, press *2. Okay. Throughout the presentation, and I will have plenty of time at the end for Q&A. So feel free to follow along with the slides. And one thing I want to point you to right now is our Facebook page. You can go ahead and type questions on there as well. But I'm really curious to know, what is your biggest goal in forming strategic alliances? And I'll be moderating that, and certainly after the call as well. If I don't, I don't want to multitask too much on this call, but feel free to go to our Facebook page, type in your questions, and it's a great opportunity to connect with other professionals that are also interested in strategic alliances. So make sure to jump on there through our presentation. All right. So let's talk about what successful partnership really is about. One of the things I always say is partnership is really about energy exchange. And I think about nature. Nature is our best teacher in so many ways, because nature craves balance. Have you noticed that? That, as an example, if there's an overpopulation of deer, all of a sudden the deer get some sort of disease and their population normalizes. Nature likes balance. And humans like balance too. And really, at the end of the day, it is about, how do I create a relationship that feels like an equal energy exchange? Because that's the balance, that I'm giving as much as I'm getting, and that person is getting as much as they're giving. And oftentimes what has relationships fail, and by the way, this is not just about strategic alliances, just relationships in general, is because the energy exchange is not equal. Now, with that said, there are going to be periods of time in your relationship, any relationship, where that balance gets off mark. And the key to getting, the key is, can you get it back into balance? Because this is going to happen. It does happen. Sometimes I do a little bit more than some of my strategic partners, knowing that they're going to get, they're going to come back into balance with that. Sometimes I might be doing a lot of promotional stuff for them, say in the month of September, because they have a launch coming up. But I know we have an agreement that we're going to get back into balance, and they're going to be doing some things for me. And we'll talk a little bit about how to sort of optimize relationships and to stay in that balance. But this is an absolute key as you begin this process, is to look for other professionals, first of all, that share this philosophy, that they too want to be in a relationship that's an equal energy exchange, and that you remain in that balance throughout, and if you aren't in balance, that you bring that up. And you may choose to end relationships as a result of that, however, or not even to pursue them further or go into them formally as a result of that. But oftentimes, relationships just need to be brought into balance. I just had a conversation 2 days ago with one of my strategic alliances where it felt like they were asking for a lot more from me than what they were giving, and I brought it forward. We had a really lovely, rich, beautiful conversation, and we brought it back into balance. They're going to be doing some other stuff for me to bring that back in balance. They totally saw my point of view. I saw their point of view, and we brought it back together. So really, it's important to think about this throughout this process as you're looking at partnerships. How can we make this an equal energy exchange? Is there an opportunity to have this be an equal energy exchange? Because sometimes right out of the gate, it's really clear that for that particular, for the two of you, and sometimes three or four, partnerships can extend to multiple people, that equal energy exchange might not be possible for you. So this is definitely something I want this to be your mantra as you go through this process with anyone, that how do I create the equal energy exchange? All right, so let's talk about the different types of strategic alliances. I've listed out five different ones that I consider sort of core to the emerging entrepreneur, the solopreneur, the service-based entrepreneur. There are other types of partnerships that exist out there, but for my audience, these are really the primary ones for you to think about. Now, you're going to hear, by the way, different nomenclature out there in the world. I've studied this a lot, and I've also studied, what are the technical terms of things. Many of you know I like to be devil's advocate, and I like to create my own language or bring language in from other industries into ours that really name things. So first of all is referral partners. This is pretty straightforward. A referral partner is an agreement that you have that they will refer business to you and vice versa or vice versa. And this is all about equal energy exchange. As an example, I have a referral partner, Erin Zimmer, who I don't know if she's on the call today, but I refer a tremendous amount of business to her. I would probably say about 50 or 60%. She's a writing coach. And it's an equal energy exchange for me. She does try to refer people to me, but it just because of the nature of the relationship, that doesn't work. However, the reason it is an equal energy exchange for me is because she helps my clients tremendously. She actually gives 2 free sessions to my clients as part of the packages in working when somebody works with me. And part of that is that she helps refine language for them, for their website, for marketing brochures, for sales page copy, that really helps my clients be more successful. So for me, it's definitely an equal energy exchange because she helps me look good and she helps my clients reach success. So it doesn't always have to, when you talk about equal energy exchange, it's not tit for tat. It's really about how does it feel equal. Another way that sometimes referral partners feel equal is that people will give a fee, a referral fee. I refer somebody to you and you pay me 15% for that. And I want you to understand that money is a form of energy. It is not the only form of energy. And for some of you, it really won't feel like the right type of energy. It's interesting because I have done a fair amount of strategic alliances, referral partners and promotional partners in the past that we do a revenue share. And really I've gotten to the place now that with referral partners, I don't do that. I prefer to look at other types of energy exchange for that, partly because it's just more difficult. A lot of checks being written back and forth and a lot of things to track. But for me, I actually like the cleanness of not having the money be part of the energy exchange in those circumstances. So the second part of the second type of strategic promotional partners. And those two can be revenue exchange. I promote for you. I get an affiliate fee for anybody in my book that, you know, my audience that signs up. I get X percent. Typically, in affiliate-type promotional partnerships, that range can be anywhere from 10 to 50%. I've been on Telesummits as an example where they've given me 50% of the revenue of anybody who's bought a bonus program. And I did that for my Telesummit as well. And it's an incentive for those people to promote on your behalf. However, there are lots of ways, you know, a lot of my promotional partnerships are I'll promote for you for this period of time and you promote for me. Part of what you want to look at with this is how big is their list? How much traction can I get with them versus them getting traction with me? Because if I'm going to promote with somebody who has a list that's 10 times the size of mine, I might have to promote for them several times in order for that to feel like an equal energy exchange. All right. So promotional partners are really about I promote you, you promote me, and sometimes there's a money exchange or affiliate fee associated with that. Collaboration partners. This can take actually several different forms, but this is when you choose to collaborate together on projects, like doing a workshop together. You might actually do a signature talk or a presentation together where you do one piece and I do one piece, and maybe we invite both of our audiences to it. Or we could go on the road and we actually go around town and present together to jointly to an audience, and that we collaborate in that way. So that can take many forms, and it is actually a very common way that people do strategic alliances. And really the important part with this piece is what makes it the equal energy exchange, because I've seen a lot of people go into collaborative partnerships where at the end of the day, it felt like it was more work to do it to collaborate and less money as a result. So this is one of the ones to really look at to say, you know, is this going to give me the 1+1=4? Or is it going to be the 1+1=1? Because I've had lots of clients that have talked about doing collaborative workshops where they put all this work in, and actually putting together a collaborative workshop takes more effort than you do it on your own. And it can be so much better if you have that synergy. But then you're also sharing the revenue from something like that too. So you have to weigh out all of these things and say, is it really, you know, will the energy I'm getting from this be worth the time and energy? I often say, you know, what's the return on investment of your time, money, and energy? Okay, and the fourth way is extension partnerships. This is a Tara Butler flock word. it's a Taraism, as my clients would call it. I named it this because I didn't really, wasn't really a name out there that I could find that people used for this. But essentially what an extension partnership is when, and I'll use the example of Lou Curtis with this, that I have my company, Broadviewpreneur, or the Broadview Group, that's actually all one company, and I'm working on a project under my umbrella with a client who needs some of the SEO optimization that he does. And in an extension partnership scenario, I would actually bring him in under my umbrella. The client would pay me, and I pay Lou as part of sort of the overall project, that the client kind of sees us as one entity, and I'm paying them for their contribution. You see this a lot in the consulting model. Like, that's a good example of the consulting model. I used to be a consultant, and now I'm obviously a business coach and mentor. But you see this in the coaching model a lot too, where somebody will actually have like a leadership program that needs coaching. So they hire some coaches to come under their umbrella as extension partners who have their own business and have their own clients too that will support that program as a coach. I actually have an extension partner like that, Sage Levine. I support her beautiful ladies. Some of you are here today, the Entrepreneurial Leadership Academy. I coach people that are going through that program. And I show up in leadership in some forms, but most of the time I'm actually showing up mostly with that coaching hat on, and I get paid from her for that. You see that in the consulting model, that where they might have to bring in somebody to do 360 reviews or something like that, that they bring them in under the umbrella. And this, particularly for emerging entrepreneurs, which I know many of you are, is a really, really great model. The key to this, however, is that you actually put boundaries around this, because there's a way that when you get into extension partnerships with people, that they could want all of your time. And the beauty of extension partnership is you don't have to do the business development. The business comes to you. It's easy peasy. The sort of downfall of extension partnerships is you get paid a lot less, usually a third of what you would get from private clients. So what I found is that the balance between extension partnerships and your own business should be there, that you should have boundaries on how many clients you would take on so that you maintain that independence, because also, by the way, extension partnerships can go away. It's not like you're working for a company. There's a lot less safety in having an extension partnership because they can choose. You know, I had an extension partner in a company called Avanade. I used to go in and do a consulting 101 course for them for 4 days for all their new consultants. And I did this for 4 years. It was, 10% of my time, but at the time probably about 30% of my revenue. And in 2008, they called me up and canceled $60,000 worth of contracts in that phone call. The economy is going down. We're canceling these programs for the rest of the year. Boom. So there's there is that risk when you put too many eggs in one basket with an extension partnership. And if anybody is exploring this, feel free to, you can always send me questions. I'm happy to answer questions about this because it gets pretty complicated when you get into the nitty-gritty of it. All right, and the last type of strategic alliance is joint venture partnership. Now, you hear this whole thing out in the industry, out on telesummits all the time, JV partners. When they're talking, you know, there's a lot of misuse of this term. A joint venture partnership is actually when two or more entities come together and they make an equity investment, and it is actually a new legal entity. So let's just say if the Broadviewpreneur company decided to join with Lou Curtis Consulting in a joint venture, we'd actually have a new company name, a new legal entity, and both of us would be investing in that together, and we decide what percentage, you know, if it's a 50-50 split, if it's a 30-70 split. And what I have found is that this is, you really don't want to go to joint venture partnership until you've at least been collaboration partners. It's like going into a marriage for many lifetimes kind of thing. I mean, it's like you're legally bound to each other. There's money involved in it. And truly, very few of them actually succeed. So I really recommend, and you'll see through my process, that you really collaborate before you move on to something of this level. Now, with that said, it can be very successful. These usually take at least a year to put into place. So I just want to give you some context with that. Where a referral partnership can happen, you know, snap like that. It can happen really in like a month's time, even less if you're really diligent about it. So these are the different types of partnerships that I tend to see. The ones that, you know, they're almost sort of in the order of easiest to most difficult. So keep that in mind. And also know that about 80% of partnerships do fail. But, you know, it's kind of like a lot of marriages fail. Doesn't mean that you don't want to do it. When you find the right partner, it can be magical, absolutely magical for your life and for your business. And the ones that do succeed, I've seen it time and time again, where it can be a significant part of your revenue and it can bring a tremendous amount of joy to your business. Okay, so what are some of the biggest challenges of finding the one? And I'm just going to do a check-in here to see if anybody has put in any questions. And so far, doesn't look like I have anything. Okay. Feel free to do that if – oh, wait, here's one from Kathleen. I would really like to know about how we work with referrals from hairdressers or clients. Are they referral partners? How about affiliates? Thank you, Kathleen. So basically, I don't know what time you put that one in. I think you put it in pretty recently, given the time stamp on it. Basically, when you get referrals, you get to decide, do I want to – I mean, sometimes the whole thing about affiliate, which is being an affiliate means that you're actually giving them a percentage back. Or in some cases, you also might offer a discount to their clients. And that can work really nicely with different entrepreneurs that you know, I'll give a discount to your clients if they sign up with me, and that can be a part of the equal energy exchange. You get to decide whether the, you know, as I call it, financial glue is needed in the relationship to intensify it or bring it to the next level. I like things simple and elegant. I always try to, with my clients, to create simple and elegant businesses for them. And sometimes it's just easier to develop something else. But for somebody like a hairdresser, it might be worth giving her that because it might, you know, that might make it the equal energy exchange. If you're not sending as many clients to her, you know, that's part of looking at this equal energy exchange. What would make it an equal energy exchange and provide that drive and incentive for people? So I hope that answers the question, and we certainly can dive deeper into that if you have some follow-up questions. Feel free to type that in, and I'm just going to keep going here. It always takes longer to do this than you anticipate. So some of the biggest challenges of choosing the one. So first of all, you pick someone you like. You meet somebody, oh my gosh, they're so cool. I just love them. I would love to collaborate with them. I love their energy. But it turns out they actually serve a very different client than you. Your businesses really aren't aligned. And I have actually done this before where I've collaborated with people I actually really adored, and I didn't get any clients out of it. And it kind of made me resentful, but it was my own fault because I hadn't really thought through all these steps. And we'll bring you through the steps so you can prevent that for yourself. Okay, finding someone who resonates with your peeps and vice versa. There are times that there are people that have information that your clients really need. And I'm always looking for promotional partners that can help. You know, I have a guest speaker come talk to my clients every month. So I'm always looking for people that have content that really complements what I do, but it's really important that their vibe connects with my people. And, you know, there's some times that I can miss aim with that. we all can. So it's really looking at how what's their vibe, and will that resonate with my audience and my clients and vice versa, because they might be a great subject matter expert, but they might not be the right person from that standpoint. Finding someone who wants what you want. If you're a giver, you've got to be very cognizant of that going into relationship. If you're one that tends to take, you've got to be cognizant of that too, because oftentimes you go into relationships and somebody wants something bigger than the other person does. And can we bring this into alignment? Sometimes we can, but you have to be really honest with each other that one person isn't putting their needs and their wants on hold to be in that relationship. And choosing someone who is willing to work on staying in alignment, because conflict will happen, and finding somebody who's willing to be in those conversations when it's out of alignment and be open to feedback and be willing to work on it with you and make sure that you stay clean, as I say. And this is in any relationship, right? Whether it's your virtual assistant or your husband or wife or friendships. But in business partnerships, it's really important, because when that energy isn't working well, it's going to have a negative impact on your business. I believe that when the energy that we hold in a relationship about, like, let's just say a business development relationship or in a promotional partnership together, if that energy isn't clean, I don't think we'll get the same level of results that, you know, even if we do the exact same action. So think of that from that perspective. All right. I like to talk about this process that I've developed to really begin with the end in mind. Stephen Covey is brilliant when he says this, and I use this in many parts of my business, but that we really have to start with what is it that we want to create. And so the program that I put together, the process I put together, really starts with that level of intention. So here are... I have both the four levels of savvy, successful strategic alliances and the six steps. There are overlap between these, but this is a great pyramid to show your potential partners when you start dialogues with them, so that they can see that you're starting with the end in mind and can see the roadmap of where you're trying to go with them. So all successful, you know, if you look from the foundation, from the bottom of the pyramid up, each step needs to happen before the next, you know, it's like you cannot pass go until you've had that step. So foundation. Do we have a strong foundation? And I'll be going through this in detail on how to determine if you have a strong foundation. But this is around, you know, do we like each other? Do we have a shared business philosophy? Do we have a shared ideal client or pretty darn close? Do we have businesses that complement each other but don't compete with each other? And really asking all the questions that can develop, yes, we have a strong foundation on which we can build a relationship. And really, truly, the reason that 80% of relationships fail is because they never had a strong foundation. So that's the good news of this, that you can talk with many people and quickly assess whether you have the foundation or not and move on. I always say, you know, next. And it's so much better to be able to assess that, start with the end in mind, get really clear about what the foundation is that I want and need in a relationship, and really look for your potential partner through that scope. And if they don't fit, you move on to the next one until you find somebody that really aligns with you. Once you have that, I recommend that you collaborate on a project, one project. We don't go to formalization. You know, I actually, one of my clients the other day had a really beautiful, she might be on the line, had a really beautiful, kind of interesting, exploratory meeting with somebody. And by the way, one exploratory meeting does not a foundation make. Usually there's at least two, oftentimes three, four, or five meetings to establish that foundation. So they have this really beautiful meeting, and she gets a follow-up email with him with a 12-page contract. And she was like, whoa. So you really can't, you shouldn't go to formalization until you've actually collaborated with each other, because there's a lot of things that we can discover about each other that might not appear to be there on the surface. So pick one project that you want to do, one promotional project you want to do. Let's promote each other on this, see how that works. Or, you know, let's collaborate on a workshop together. Let's do a joint presentation to the local business association. One project that you collaborate on. And then after that successful collaboration, by the way, you can do more than one. You know, some relationships never go all the way up to these levels. Some people just collaborate on a regular basis and actually never really have a formalized plan. However, going to formalization actually puts some intention around what are some of the activities and things we want to do to strengthen and bring this relationship to the next level. This can be things like a joint venture partnership, and it can just be a written marketing plan, or just even an email that says, "Here are the, you know, we're going to do this in April, and we're going to do this in August, and we're going to do this in December." But definitely in writing, a formal plan, all the way to like a legal partnership. And then optimization. That is because we are never done when we're in a relationship. How do we bring this to the next level? How do we tune this up? How do we ratchet up this relationship? How do we strengthen our relationship? And this is that piece of, you know, always being willing to work on the relationship and bring it to the next level. You know, like I said, most of my strategic alliances have shifted, you know, over the many years that I've worked with them. And they've only survived and thrived because they've shifted, because I've changed, they've changed, my business has changed, their business has changed. We're always changing. I always say we're either growing or we're shrinking. So if we're staying the same, we're actually shrinking. So if we're changing all the time, we have to work on optimizing our relationships, because they need to change with it. All righty. So here are those six steps to creating fun and profitable and savvy strategic alliances. So for those of you who are following along with the visual, you'll see that there are six steps that go up like stair steps. And then to the left, there's some writing. And basically for each step, what is to the left of that is actually when it is done well, this is the result. This is the outcome of that step. Okay? So I'm going to go through this kind of quickly, and then I'm going to dive deep into the exploratory piece. And I am willing to stay on longer to answer questions, because I have a feeling we're going to kind of run to the top of the hour with what we've got here, and then I'll leave some more time for questions if people want to stay on. And you can also write to me on the Broadview Business Facebook page or write me an email if you have questions after this is over or if you have to jump off. All right, so the first one is the first step is having exploratory meetings. And that is after you've identified a potential promotional partner. By the way, people wonder, how do I do that? So there are people that you know, I often say, and actually I was listening to something by Sage Levine the other day, and she said the exact same thing, which is when you go to networking events, it's actually not necessarily to look for potential clients, because most of the other people there are doing that too. It's actually looking for other partners. That's actually a better use of that time. So going to networking events is a great way to meet promotional partners. You know, looking around the room if you're in a mastermind group. There are just many, many ways. You can even cold call potential promotional partners, people that you've seen them speak, go up to them afterwards and say, I love your work. Could we talk further about working together? So there are many different ways to find promotional partners. And after these exploratory meetings, the result of that is the foundation is established. And I'm going to dive deep into the exploratory meetings after we go through all six steps. So stay tuned on more for that. So once we establish the foundation, we do a collaborative project together. And if that is successful, then you go to the next level. If it isn't successful, you go back to exploration. You know, do we want to do this again? Are we really aligned? Because sometimes why it wasn't successful is that there wasn't enough discussion about outcome and things like that. Sometimes there just needs to be some realignment of things. And sometimes it's like, okay, you know, we're not meant for each other. If it is successful, the next step is to brainstorm partnership. You know, how could we maybe do more together? How could we play together? What are some of the things that we could do that would be mutually beneficial? And this, again, can be many, many meetings, many, many discussions on, you know, how can we work together? And even though this is the third step, it's a step that comes in really in optimization as well, to continue to brainstorm. And once you have a successful brainstorm session, what you know you come away with, the outcome, is alignment of direction and agreed upon ground rules. And this is why it's also important for the next step to put that in writing. I've had many conversations where I felt we were really aligned, we wanted the same thing. I wrote it down in writing, and they said, wait, I don't think I agreed to that. So sometimes we think that we're in alignment, and we actually aren't. It's part of the importance of having a written plan, and not just having a written plan, but actually reviewing it together, going through it step by step to make sure, you know, are we really truly in alignment with this? And once you are, the ideal outcome for that would be commitment and sign off of the written plan. And like I said, this could be a plan. It could be a project plan of here are the things that we're going to do, the who, what, when, and where of what we're going to do. And it might be high level, and then you'll have to go in further and have further meetings on how to actually implement that plan on a more tactical level. So obviously the next step would be to implement and follow through on all the things that you said that you would do, and check in along the way. You know, have regular check-ins to make sure that it's implementing according to plan, and dance in the moment if it's not working the way that you anticipated. Communication is so key in all of this. And then clearly optimization. After you've implemented the plan, to do a post-mortem. What worked, what didn't work, what do we need to do differently next time, really fine-tuning the relationship and giving each other feedback to enhance that relationship and that outcome. So that is a really, really quick dive into what these six steps are. My clients that I work with on this, we go into great detail, and I am planning on doing a a long, you know, a workshop of sorts or a program on this, either later in the fall or early winter. So I'll keep you posted on that if you're interested. And you know, this makes it look much easier than it is, but at least this gives you a framework to walk you through this. And I recommend that you be really transparent with people that you're considering partnering with and say, you know, here are the steps that I'd like to see us go through as we go on this journey. All right. So I have some language here on how to make the invitation. You find the perfect person. So I'm going back now to exploration and diving deep into how to explore and choose somebody and to establish that foundation. So I've given you some language here. I'll just say it out loud because I know some of you are just on the phone. But, you know, let's say you meet somebody at a networking event and you just think they're great and you want to explore whether working together on some level would be a good idea. So you can say, I'm really impressed with what I know about you and your business, and I think it would be really fun to explore whether we might want to collaborate with each other to help expand our businesses. Is that something you'd be interested in exploring with me? And if they say yes, or maybe, then you say, great, let's set up a time when we can sit down and explore this. I'd love to know more about what you do, who you serve, and your personal philosophy about serving clients. When would be a good time for you to get together? So there's some language for you. All of you have a link to the slides. If you don't have them in front of you now, you'll be able to get a link to that. I'll send it after the call. And remember that context is more important than content, that it's really the feel of this that's important, not the exact words. But it's helpful sometimes to have the words there as well. All right, so setting the stage for exploration, this is about, like, what do I say at the beginning of our meeting together? Like, we sit down, we're having coffee together. How do I set the context for this conversation? Because for most people, to have a formalized exploration process, talking about working together is unusual, honestly. Most people haven't had that before. So you have to set the context for them so they understand where you're heading. Start with the end in mind. So the wording for this is, I've been really looking forward to talking with you about your work and see if there's an opportunity for us to collaborate together in a way that would be a win-win. I put together a series of questions that will help both of us get a clearer understanding of each other's businesses and expertise and help us determine whether it makes sense to continue to explore working together. My goal is to determine if we both want to serve the same type of client and if our expertise complements each other in a way that would be really powerful for our prospective and current clients. And if they do, to determine the next step to continue to explore how we could collaborate together. How does that sound to you? So again, more important that you have that context than this actual wording, but that is the feel of what you want to put forward to them as you start out the meeting. You also have a link to the exploratory questionnaire. And one thing I want to say about this is, for your particular business, there might be questions that you want to ask that aren't on here. This is really a generalized form that, you know, most of these questions apply to everyone. Some of you are in a line of business where you don't have a mailing list. There are some things on there about mailing lists, or don't do a lot of marketing through your mailing list. By the way, no matter what type of business you have, I do recommend that you have a mailing list. So if you don't have a mailing list, that's something you'll want to think about. How can I start doing that? So really the basis of these questions is to establish the foundation. Do we share the same type of client? Do our businesses complement each other but not compete? Do we like each other? And do we share a similar philosophy in how we see the world, how we see our businesses, how we see our clients? That's really what you're looking for here. So as you look at this questionnaire, what are some of the questions that you want to add on to this, given your particular arena, that would help you get to that answer? Also, the exploratory interview, and I'll talk about this in a minute, it's not necessarily a interview. This could be multiple dialogues to get to that place of really having clarity that you have a strong foundation. All right. I think for the sake of time, I probably won't go through the questions. But if any of you have any questions about the questionnaire, feel free to raise your hand by pressing star 2 or putting something into the webcast. And I'll just skip through these and just say, I pretty much covered that. So I want to make sure for the sake of time that we are doing this in a way that is time effective. All right, so Kathleen from Tucson, can you give me some examples of businesses that complement but don't compete? Awesome. Thank you, Kathleen. So an example would be, let me see. So an example would be if you're a business coach, somebody who is a writing coach, that they probably work with a lot of business owners and helping them do things. But they don't compete with you. The subject matter expertise that they offer is different than yours. There might be a little bit of overlap. A little bit of overlap is okay. As an example, I have a strategic partner, Leela Somaya, who some of you might know, who her big thing is how to do a succulent business plan. And really, I do a one-page strategic business plan with my clients, but it's really not my, not my area of expertise. She's a former lawyer. She's like really into business planning. And she also works with heart-centered, conscious entrepreneurs. And a lot of my clients are like that. We have a very nice overlap of our, as I call it, divine ideal client. And she does do business coaching, but what she does is different than me. So there are some business coaches that have asked to collaborate with me when really we looked at it, it's like, what you offer is similar to what I offer. And I don't think, we want to make a distinction here. So bringing somebody in, like if you're a business coach, it might be somebody who's great at social media, somebody who whose thing is blogging. If you are a shamanic healer, it might be somebody who does a certain type of body work. I'm trying to think of paint a gamut here. If you are a wedding officiant, which one of my clients is a wedding officiant, that might be caterers, event coordinators, various different people in the wedding industry that aren't wedding officiants that work with your divine ideal client. So hopefully that helps. All right. Let's look at these other questions. So thank you, Kathleen. I'm glad you liked the visual with the balloon and the pin. This is I didn't actually point that out, but there was the balloon that said, I love you, and the pin that said, I love you. And sometimes we really like each other and don't realize we're not good for each other. So you got to look out for the people that you really are drawn to that are actually going to be more of a pin in your balloon when it comes to your business. Okay, let's see. Jordan asks a question. Do you by chance have a handout that delineates the essential differences between these varied forms of alliance, like a chart? I actually don't, but I will be making that as part of this upcoming program. And I would be happy to, I'm going to put a note. Angela, can you put a note to put a chart together to send off to everyone, or at least send off to Jordan? And if you guys want that too, you can send an email to support@broadviewpreneur.com. All right. So I think we got some good questions in. If anybody on the telephone has a question, you can always press star 2 to raise your hand. And we have one more from Ellie. When you decide that there's not a right fit for partnership, do you still maintain the relationship? It's a great question. I think it depends on, part of this is how do I have this dialogue that if we decide not to be in partnership or even in relationship of any sort, that we bless each other on our journey, as I say, that there's no hard feelings, you know, and that takes intention. You know, there are a lot of people that just say, oh, I'm just going to blow this off. And I always make the analogy of this with dating. It's like, you know, when someone's calling you all the time and you're not returning their phone calls, it's not a kind thing to do in the world. If you know you're not a good fit, the kindest thing to do is to say, we're not a good fit. I think that you're a great person. I bless you on your journey. I just don't think our businesses are a good fit. And best of luck to you. And be willing to have that conversation. For some of you, like I've had some strategic alliances that have evolved. Their businesses have evolved. Mine have evolved. And it no longer made sense for us to do collaborative work together. And, you know, sometimes you got to put your, as I say, your big girl panties on and have those conversations, because sometimes it's just not easy to say, you know, I love you and I just don't think that this is really a win-win for us to continue to collaborate together. All right. We have another one from Ozma. I've collaborated with some other retailers that had complementary products, but now my plan is to expand my product line, and the product offering is similar, in a similar category, although not similar clothing. Will that be a potential problem? Have not introduced the new products yet. I'm not sure I'm fully understanding the question, Ozma. Why don't we take that one offline, and why don't we email together and make sure that I'm clear on your question, and I'll answer that offline. Oh, lots of questions coming in here. Okay. How does it work for the client when you have complementary services with a partner and both of you offer your work in a program format? Is this a realistic financial consideration for most clients? Yeah, I mean, I think that one of the things I would say with this, Michelle, is don't assume that people don't have the money to hire two people. I actually have multiple coaches, and a lot of my clients who work with me have multiple coaches. I have one person who's one client right now who actually is engaged in another entrepreneurial program and doing something on signature talks with another person and working with me. So don't assume that people don't have the money for both of you. Now, you want to also make sure that you're offering, when you're doing a joint offer, and this is really a bigger question on offers, that you make a powerful offer that's easy for people to say a powerful yes to. And you might not want to offer your program right out of the gate. You might want to offer like a discovery session, each of you to have discovery sessions or, you know, a business breakthrough session or something like that, that allows you to actually be in dialogue to see if there's really a way that you can make a significant difference with them. Because if you are making two offers from stage, each one of you are making an offer and they're both heavy price points, it's going to be harder for the audience to say yes. So essentially, you both should make an offer. It's okay that you both have programs. People might sign up for both of your programs. Some people will sign up for one or the other. They might resonate a little bit more with you than the other person, or that particular need that they have in that moment is one or the other. And you want to make it easy for them to say a powerful yes. So when you're making an offer from stage, even if you've had a weekend workshop, you want to make sure that it's a price point that's easy for people in the spot to make that decision. And if not, what's the next thing I should offer that can lead them to saying yes to my program? And you can send me an email if you want more information on that one too. All right, great questions, you guys. I'm so happy that you're participating so fully. All right, it is 11 o'clock. I'm going to keep on moving because I've got a few more things here. And if you need to drop off, I totally understand. The webcast will be available for all of you as a replay, so if you have to drop off, you will be able to still get this juicy essence. All right, so let's say we have explored. We had our first exploratory interview, and we really were like, wow, this is great. I do want to move on. And by the way, if you don't think it's a fit, say it. And if you're not sure and you need to marinate on it, go away and marinate on it and follow up with them and say, you know, I'm just thinking that right now this is not the best the best next step for me and my business. But thank you so much for your time, and it was really a great pleasure to meet you, and I hope that we continue to run into each other, et cetera, et cetera. If you do decide that you want to take that next step, I've provided some language for you. It's been really fun and interesting to explore each other's businesses. I'm curious from your perspective, do you feel we would be a good possible match to collaborate together? Let's set up a time next week to talk further. That will give us both a chance to marinate in this a little more and see if there's any other questions, challenges, or concerns that pop up that we should explore before we decide how to move forward. What's a good day and time for you? All right. And once you, you know, just to remind you of these six steps again, once you have several exploratory meetings and you've established that foundation, you want to choose that one project to collaborate on. Start with one thing. And really evaluate it. And when you choose that one thing, go into it with clear expectations. What do we hope? Great, let's both promote an upcoming, you know, you've got something on strategic alliances coming up, and I have this thing on writing kick asana blogs, and let's promote it to each other. We both have, you know, we feel like it's going to be an equal energy exchange because we've got lists of approximately the same size, blah, blah, blah. Let's just say there's an equal energy exchange there. What's the outcome that we're looking for with that collaboration? What would make it a success from your perspective? What would make it a success from my perspective? So that you're clear going into it what you hope it will be. And then when the project is over, you can have that postmortem of, did we get the results that we wanted? And this has happened with me where we might have lists of the same size. I have a great example of one of my collaborators who, frankly, has a list of 50,000. And so when we originally collaborated on a promotion together, we decided that I would promote her multiple times to her promoting me in her newsletter just because of the difference of our list size. Well, what was interesting is I came up, out of all of her collaborative partners, promotional partners, I came up number three on her reader board. And so she started to see, like, wow, you're really a valuable resource to me. Even though your list is smaller, they're very engaged. They're a really good match for my product. So after we did that first collaboration, we sat down and we're like, okay, it turns out even though your list is much bigger than mine, that an equal energy exchange would look like equal level of promotion. And what's interesting is that after we did that, I still was getting no traction from her list. So we've decided to just kind of put a hold on it because it doesn't make sense for me to promote for her if it's not making any traction in my business, but I'm promoting for her and she's getting a lot of traction. And even if we have an affiliate set up, for me that energetically doesn't feel like an equal energy exchange. I'm not money-oriented. I'm really much more energy-oriented. So that's one of the things I just want to point out, that you really want to, once you've done a collaborative project, you really want to debrief it. You really want to say, how can we do this better? You might choose to collaborate again before you go to a formalized agreement. Really, you want to go to formalization when you've really said, well, you know, this is somebody I want to wed. You know, this is somebody I really want to collaborate with on an ongoing basis. And these partnerships can transform over years. I have definitely seen that. I've seen that with some of my colleagues and collaborators, that they have started with a promotional partnership that went to a collaborative partnership that went on to be a joint venture. So, you know, oftentimes they start with one intention and can really grow from there when the synergy really happens. All right, so ladies and gentlemen, any questions remaining? Press star 2 if you have any questions on the line. And I'll look at the webcast and see if there's any more questions there. All right. Doesn't look like we have any questions left. So really what I want to say is I really hope this was was useful for you, please do email me and let me know how it goes. Let me know if you come up with any challenges. Please use the Facebook page to collaborate and connect with each other. If you have questions, it's a great place to post it because I can, you know, you all can see the question. You can all see the answer. It's really useful to be able to witness other people's questions because if you have a question, many people probably have a similar question. So please do stay in touch. I will be sending a follow-up email with a link to the replay, a link to the slides, and a link to the interview guide. And I challenge you out of this to, you know, look in your Rolodex, look in your community, and say, you know, are there at least three people that I would want to explore doing a partnership of some sort? And I challenge you to set up some exploratory interviews with some of those people and let me know how it goes. You know, when the pedal hits the metal, that's where the proof is in the pudding. I love that I just, like, mixed, like, three metaphors together. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure to serve you, and I really hope the best for your business, your clients, and your future clients. Take care, everyone. Bye-bye.